Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, this is Liz, and welcome to Dear Younger Me, Love Me. Today we have the wonderful Maddie Robrock here with us, and Maddie is a sophomore at Huntington University. She is a double major of social work and psychology, just picked up a minor in TESOL. And so that's just the kind of person that she is. She also plays two sports in the college level. So she just finished playing basketball this whole last season. And then this year she's picking up again volleyball. Yep. But I have known Maddie for a long time, and she has been involved in Huntington North Campus life, and we just love Maddie. She's one of our volunteers at the middle school right now. And Maddie is just so good with people and just so kind and loving. And I'm just so happy that you're here. Just so happy. And so, Maddie, growing up, how tall are you right now?
Right now, I am at 6 feet tall.
You're six feet tall. And yep. So you started your little growth spurt in life before a lot of other people. Yep. And so in middle school, the tall girl always feels a little bit more left out and awkward and like, oh man, I hate how tall I am. I hate all of this. I'm not these like small sixth graders like everybody else. And so that was a part of your journey, is that struggle with that and amongst other things. And so will you share a little bit about your struggle with wanting to fit in, wanting to be like everybody else, and how that journey took you through life?
Yeah. So like Liz said, I was like very tall for a middle schooler. So growing up, I had a really hard time kind of being confident in who I was, especially in middle school. Like, we all know that there's like, you're kind of growing into your body as like a middle schooler, but I had noticed myself being significantly taller than a lot of my friends. Yeah. And like significantly like bigger than a lot of my friends. And that was kind of really hard for me, just because I felt as if like I didn't look like them, that I wasn't good enough, even as a middle schooler. Like, that was something that was really hard for me. They were all like these like skinny little girls, and mm-hmm. they were so fast at recess, you know, like, and yeah. I was like just trying to catch up.
You're like, my long legs can't run me that fast.
Literally, like, I just wasn't like, I was so like long and lanky, like I just didn't know how to run yet. Uh-huh. And it was just really hard for me. Being looking physically different than them was really hard for me, just because I felt like being good enough then, I needed to look like them and be like them and act like them.
So you're like, I mean, in middle school,
yeah,
your value equaled your looks and how you looked like everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. And yep. So that's like that coordinated directly yeah. for you. Okay. Yeah.
And I think it was hard too, especially because that's kind of how, like, even right now, but back then too, like how society kind of views things. It's just like you have to like look a certain way to like be like successful in society. And I think even as an eighth grader, I mean, it's hard to think that eighth graders think that way, but it definitely was something that I struggled with.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah. And like just with social media, yeah, and definitely with just even like magazines and all yeah. Photoshop stuff and literally everything, all of these standards are look like these people. And even in middle school, in any school, there's this hierarchy of mm-hmm. like the cool kids, and the cool kids all have this similar hair. They all shop at the same place. Mm-hmm. They all wear similar shoes, like all of these things. And then if you don't match up with that, it's hard to deal with that with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially and like, I'm not, don't get me wrong, like I love every single one of my friends that I have. I'm so thankful for all of them. But I definitely was probably considered in like the popular crowd when I was like in eighth grade, and especially like in high school. Like, and I think, I don't know, I'm sure it is like at every school, but like the athletes are kind of considered like that popular crowd. And I think that so much of like trying to be like them, I pushed away a lot of good people in my life. So when I was in middle school, I was in band. So mm-hmm. I played the oboe. I know it's funny. I mean, if you don't play it right, it sounds like a dying duck to some people, but
I love it that you played the oboe. I just love that.
Yeah, it was, and I really loved it. It was like probably one of my favorite things to do, but I continued band when I was in high school, and I met really amazing friends there, like people that I had carried from middle school. And it was something that I was super passionate about, but it was something different. It wasn't sports. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of hard for me, because a lot of some of like the people that I would hang around that were like the athletes kind of like they viewed it as different, which kind of made it them view it like as weird. Like, yeah. Why would you like do something that's like out of like the norm of like the athletics?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you were even in the pep band too. Yeah. And so at the basketball games, yep. I remember looking over there and seeing you rocking your oboe, yeah. having a good time, enjoying yourself and not caring. Yeah. Well, it looks on the outward that you were like, you know what? I'm going to do something that I enjoy and I'm not going to let these like social stigmas ruin something that I am really enjoying.
Yeah. And that was how it was for a while. But then I had noticed myself noticed myself shying away from it a little bit, especially as I started to get older, just because, like I said, it didn't look cool in some of like my friends' eyes. And I wanted so bad to like look good enough in their eyes that I ended up stopped my junior year. I think I stopped playing in the band just because I wanted to focus more on sports, just because I thought that's like what my friends kind of wanted me to do. Yeah. And I was like, well, if my friends think I'm cool, like if my friends see me not doing band anymore, then I'm just not going to do anymore. And I think that was something that was really hard for me, because like after I had stopped, I had regretted it just because it was something that I was so passionate about. But like, again, trying to like look good in other people's eyes was like stopped me from doing something that I really loved.
And so what, In that time, if you're going back to the time you're making that decision, what were some of the factors that made you think, oh, my friends won't like this, I have to change?
Yeah, I think that one of the hardest things was those friends that I did bring that I was in band with in middle school probably were some of like the closest people that I was with, just because, especially with band, it's pretty time consuming like sports are, but like I was spending a lot of time with them. And I don't know if like the fact that I was spending more time with my band friends than my athlete friends made them kind of be like, well, I don't know, like, why you would be doing that. That's weird. Like, why don't you want to hang out with us? Like, why don't you want to play sports? So I think me stopping doing band was really hard because I lost a lot of those close friendships. And again, that's like something that like I regret because of that. Again, just there was, you know, like in high school and in middle school, there's like that stigma where like I said, the athlete kids are the cool kids and like the band kids are kind of like the weird, like the quirky kids that don't really have anything else to do. And I think that they kind of were like, well, do you really want to be like them? Do you want to be like one of those quirky, weird kids like being in band? And at the time when I was younger, I was like, yeah, like, why not? Like, I don't care. Like, because I don't know, like because in middle school and band, like you kind of had to do band or you had to do Spanish, you know? So like a lot of people were in it. But then like taking it with me in high school, people were like, well, why would you do that? Like, that's really weird. And I don't know. I think
that got to you.
That got to me. Those ideas, like, again, like the me not being good enough kind of freaked me out. So then I just like ran away from it, you know? So that was something that I regretted. But
yeah. When you, like, what were some of your, in those moments, what were some of your biggest fears when it came to not being like everybody else?
I think that one of my biggest fears was that I was just kind of going to be left in the dark, in a sense. I don't know if that's like the right way to put it, but like just me being so different from other people that I just felt like they were just gonna get up and leave and then I was just gonna be left alone. And that was something that was really hard for me, just because I am kind of like an extrovert. I like I'm good with people. I like talking to people. And especially like growing up in like a small town, like I've been friends with all of these people for so long and like they all like went one path and I went a different path, like in a bit of a sense. So I think it was just me being so scared that they were going to leave me and I was kind of going to like be left with nothing like on the friend side of it. So I think that was like probably one of my biggest fears and like made me stop doing band. So
And even if they weren't, because I'm sure none of them said, hey, Maddie, you have to quit band or else we won't be friends with you. Like, this was all a story that you were telling yourself in your head of, oh, this is different than everybody else, therefore people might reject me, therefore I might get left behind, therefore I might miss out on something because I'm not acting like everybody else does. You know, and so it's that fear of like, okay, well, what I like isn't what everybody else likes, so I can't like the things I like anymore. You know, so how do you think that affected, because that kind of feeling doesn't just affect like if you do band or not, right? Like, how did that affect the rest of your like the rest of your relationships with your friends, with your family, just in general? How did that affect you?
I think it was really hard because, like you said, it's just kind of something that I could put in my head on my own. So like I would always think about it 24/7. So like whether, like you said, it would be like with my family, like whether I was like being a good enough sister, or like was something I was like, well, am I doing the right things? Like, am I being nice enough? with my friends, but then on the other side, like with my friends, am I fitting that mold that they want me to fit? You know, like, am I just being an athlete? Like, sometimes am I doing the things that they want to do? You know, mm-hmm. like, kind of like you said, just being like different. And I think another, I hate talking about boys, but boys are a part of life. So we're just going to talk about them.
Yes, they are.
I think that even like it hurt a few potentially really good relationships that I could have had, just because like that big fear of me not being good enough for them. Like, I ran away before I could have gotten something good, I guess, if that, but like I said, it kind of just stems from a lot of like insecurities that I have in myself.
Well, it's like these insecurities come out because you're so afraid. Like it sounds like you're so fearful of them seeing who you really are,
yeah.
that you have to play these parts or else they yeah. will reject you.
Yeah.
Not like in your head, it's like, oh, if they see who I really am, if I'm not playing all these parts and being this for to this person and this mm-hmm. to this person and helping here or, you know, that, like, you're gonna fall short and yeah. they're gonna leave you and yep. they're gonna reject you. Yeah. And so it's all from this insecurity of yep. well, inside me, just me, without trying to pretend to be anybody else, well, that's not gonna measure up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest relationships that I wanted to have and I did have that like got hurt the most was probably my relationship with God.
Yeah.
I think that I noticed myself like partaking in certain activities that didn't actually represent who I really was. Being an athlete, I would do a lot of travel sports and stuff. So I would have to like skip church on like Sundays and yeah. like Wednesday nights, just because I would either have practice or I'd have tournaments. And so I would be skipping those. And then a lot of the times none of like my athlete friends went, you know, just because they just were like, well, I'm going to spend most of my time like playing sports and yeah. like practicing and stuff. That I think I wanted so badly to be like them too, that I started to like push God away in mm-hmm. a sense and kind of put him on the back burner. And I would only ever like talk to him when I really needed him, you know, like if I wanted something really bad or like before like a big game or like, can yeah. you please like just be with me like in this sense. But I think that that's something that was like, looking back on it now, is really sad, just because like at the end of the day, like he's the only one that really should matter. And I think it's really hard for me to see that like I pushed him down for so long. Like I would still like go to campus life, you know, I would still do mm-hmm. my like core, which I loved those so much, but I yeah. still noticed like I would kind of just like go, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, it's something that I'm really working on now though. Like it's become a more like prevalent in my life that I need to like start putting him first before all. And another thing with my relationship with God, talking about like that fear of not being good enough, is so I go to Huntington University, which
is just
the I know, in town here, which if you don't know, it's a Christian campus. It's a small Christian campus. It was really one of the big deciding factors that kind of helped me decide to come here, because I knew it was like that Christian based atmosphere. And that was something that I thought would be really good for me in my life, just so it could help me be bold in my faith and be able to like put him like at the center of everything. Cause I know that wasn't something that like I did a lot when I was in middle school and high school.
I mean, from talking about it for you, it's like, you knew that you easily bend towards what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Right. And
yep.
so you were like, okay, I need
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
this is the
exactly.
environment I need to yep. surround myself with yep. in this.
And that was so, yeah, like that was one of the really big factors for me. But then the one thing that I still am kind of struggling with, and so like I'm a sophomore this year, so I've been here for a while, but especially at the beginning of my freshman year, I got to campus and I saw all of these other people that had like these amazing relationships with God, you know, like they would come into class, especially like a lot of our Bible classes, and just like know all of this knowledge and information about him. And I thought that was so cool, but like at the same time I was like, wow, like my relationship with God isn't as good as it needs to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think it made me feel like I needed to like be at that level with him too. So
yeah.
that was something that was really hard for me, just because I knew I wasn't on that level yet. And again, that's just like the fear of like me not being good enough, you
mm-hmm.
know, like at the end of the day, like no person's relationship is like, there's no like by this age you need to be like at this relationship
yeah.
with God, you know. It's just kind of like your own personal journey with him. But I think that was something that was really hard for me to come to terms with, was just like seeing all these other people that had like these really like awesome and like
deep
relationships with him. And like, again, it's something that I'm working on, that I saw that was like that needed to be better in my life. But
mm-hmm.
that was like another thing that was really hard for me. So
yeah. And when you, I mean, like you were talking about, you put God on the back burner
mm-hmm.
all throughout high school, he was still important to you, but you didn't really spend a lot of time like cultivating the relationship. Yeah. It sounded like your relationship with God was more like, let me ask you for things when I need it.
Yeah.
But that's not a relationship.
Right.
Right. Like that's not, if I were to only ask people for stuff instead of just being like, okay, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to hang out. You'd be like, wow, this isn't a relationship. Like, you're not like working, like you're not
just like one-sided.
Yeah. It's so one-sided. Yeah. And God desires a two-sided relationship because he will give us everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but he wants us to give him everything too. And that's like one of the things we're commanded to do is just surrender our hearts to him and surrender our priorities and make sure he's on the throne of our hearts.
Yeah.
And when so many other things are, it's kind of like, well, there's no room for God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, of course he's going to fall to the back burner if that, and you were so busy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's, I think that was another thing that like kind of scared me, like with the workload that I have right now, just like with like my double major, like the sports and everything, that I was really scared that I was going to start putting him on the back burner again, but like for different reasons. But I do think that me going to the school that I go to like helps me, like you said, like at the beginning, how like I kind of like mold to the people around me, which like isn't always good, but it's like good in this sense that like I see all these people around me that are like have these really good relationships with him and kind of like not force me, but like
they influence you.
Influence me. Yeah, that's a good word. Just trying to like have that relationship with him too. Yeah. So I think that that's, it's really good that being on a campus like that, that I'm able to do that.
I also went to Huntington University and I just, that environment is just so good to help cultivate and grow that relationship with Jesus. And so if you show up and you're like, well, there's people that come that's like, I am still trying to figure out this Jesus thing, or I've been following Jesus my entire life and I know the entire New Testament memorized. Like there's like this whole range of that, but everybody's moving in the same direction of, I want to learn more about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Not everybody, but you know,
yeah,
give or take some, but it's it's easier to find there the people that you want to influence you.
Definitely.
In that. And so have those feelings of, I feel like I want to fit in, I want to do what everybody else is doing, I don't feel good enough as me. How have those come up in college for you?
Yeah, I think that I'm so, like I said, I still do play sports in college. So I am around like that athlete crowd a lot still, which like can have like its pros and its cons. Like I've met some of like my core people, you know, like people that I'm gonna like spend the rest of my life with, just because I could met some really good people as athletes. But there's also still those like those temptations of like not I said partaking in like the best activities in the world. But I do think that like I said, going to a Christian campus, there's so many different people, you know, like, cause so I went to Huntington North High School. So I'm a townie. So like, I've just been in Huntington my whole life, but, there wasn't a lot of like opportunities to portray my faith, I guess, in high school. I mean, there was, but like, there wasn't, like, I went to Campus Life and I did like the core groups, but there wasn't very much other than that to do. Yeah. But I think, at Huntington, they have like different, like small groups, you know, we have like worship nights and we go to chapel. So I think that that's been really good for me, because while I still like am in that athlete crowd, I can feel myself growing, especially like with my relationship and like going to like those type of activities and trying. I know that I have a tendency to like, when I get tired, I will start to like not want to like do as much, like, so not like go to like chapels all the time. But I think that having like good, strong people around me, like that are influencing me in the right way, helps me a ton, especially at Huntington.
Yeah. University. And you have awesome coaches.
So, I do
too.
Very awesome coaches.
That really push you guys in a good direction too.
Definitely. And I think that's another big thing too, is with both of the teams that I'm on, we really value doing devotions together. So with basketball, basketball and volleyball, we are reading like through different like devotional books, but it's just kind of a time like to set aside like and not focus on the sports part of it, but focus on that, like, while sports is a big part of why we're on a team, like also being on a team is like putting Christ first through what we do. So I think being able to like do those devotions with them has been really helpful.
Yeah.
Just because I wasn't able to do that in high school. So knowing that my coaches value that as highly as like I do, it's like been really good for me. So
yeah. And so like, even as a college athlete, how do you think that pushes your relationship with God in a positive direction? Like just that, like, that discipline, and like what are some ways that you learn about God different than maybe people who don't participate in those athletics in college learn?
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned, especially with the both of the sports that I've been playing, is accountability and just being held accountable for my actions. Just because I like to be successful on a team, you have to like work as a team and like hold each other accountable to like play at like the highest possible that you can. And I think that that goes along really well with like having a relationship with Christ, is you have to be held accountable for those actions and not even, well, just being held accountable for your actions and like partaking in like good activities, you know, and not like, it's not like, like we were talking about, not necessarily like the drinking or the smoking or like any of like bad things like that, but just like gossiping and like bullying and like making sure that he is the number one priority in your life and just making sure that he's always that number one and like nothing else is, I guess.
Well, yeah. And that makes a huge difference in just how you show up every day. Like I know for me, I'm better when I'm filled with Jesus, right? Like I'm not as negative. I'm not as like judgy of other people. I'm not as, I don't do a lot of the things that I used to do when I wasn't filled with Jesus.
Yeah.
And because my heart is filled with like with God, right? And so that makes a huge impact on what flows out of you because whatever you put in is going to come out, right? And so if you put in Jesus, hopefully Jesus will be coming out. But if you're just putting in like positive vibes or like sport, if you're just putting in busyness, if you're just putting in sports, if you're just putting in comparing yourself to other people, that's just going to come right back out.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's not showing up the best version of you. Yeah. And through all of this, how do you keep yourself from falling back into your old habits and your old mindset of, I have to be look like this to be loved?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that I do is it's almost like I have to like forcibly remind myself, like if even if it's like saying it out loud, like I am good enough, like I'm allowed to like these things or I'm allowed to be passionate about this. Because I think that like I said, like in high school and middle school, you want to fit that mold so bad. But like as you grow up into an adult, like you're allowed to be whoever you want to be. Like and you should never let a certain person or like a certain like group of people dictate who you want to be in the future. So if that is like you writing down like five things and like putting it like in front of you, like on your desk, like just saying like, I want to be this, I love doing this. Or like I said, even just like saying those things out loud, like I love caring for people, or like I want to be a social worker, you know, just like, like making it a consistent effort in your life to make sure that like, you know that what you are like that you know what you want to be is okay, and like you're allowed to be like whatever you want to be.
Yeah, so you're allowed to like the oboe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm allowed to like the oboe.
Yes, you can be super cool and still like the oboe, right? Like I'm allowed to love Star Wars,
exactly.
Right? Like I can still be moderately cool.
Yep,
I'm not, but still. Like you just gotta own it, and really like, I think that sometimes we miss that confidence in who you are because of what Jesus does for you is contagious.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you found that the more confident you became in yourself and who you are and what you liked, the more people wanted to be around you because you weren't just grasping at straws trying. You were just like, you know what? I just need to be me.
Yep.
And then people want to be around that.
Yeah.
You know? And so how is that affecting your friendships now?
Yeah, I think that it's helping me be around good people, I think.
Yeah.
I believe that now that I like am starting to like be more confident in myself, I can see the difference between you, like we were talking about those one-sided or two-sided friendships, or like I was only really friends with this person because they were an athlete and like I just wanted to like again fit that mold of that athlete. And I think now, especially in college, like I'm around the people that I want to be around. If it's somebody that I know that's not going to help me be successful in life in the future, then like that's just something like I am now confident that I can choose to like be away from those people, I guess, if that makes sense.
You don't have to be all things to all people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like you don't have to make everybody like you. It's okay to have people you're like, you know what?
Yep.
I can like you from a distance. Yep. I can love you, but I don't have to spend time with you.
And it's still something that I still will struggle with. I'm a people pleaser, so I just want everybody to like me no matter what. But I have noticed myself growing in that area a little bit, that like I'm not being like fake nice around them, I guess. You know, like I'm choosing to be around like good people.
But it's not a compulsion where you're like, I have to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So what are some verses or Bible stories or even songs that help remind you of who you are and who bring you back to God every time?
Yeah. So my go-to Bible verse that I've had, I think, since my freshman year is Psalms 139:14. So it says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I first learned this verse when I was on a missions trip in Thailand when I went with my mom my freshman year. We were working with girls who were victims of human trafficking, so we worked with Destiny Rescue. I remember teaching them this verse just because we kind of wanted them to know that God made them uniquely in his image.
Yeah.
And that he didn't make you the way you are, he made you to be different than somebody else. Like, we don't live in a world where everybody needs to be the same, you know? And I think he handcrafted each and every one of us for that reason. And that, especially with the girls that we were working with, that they may feel like they aren't worth anything because of the things that happened to them. But everything happens to us for a reason.
Yeah.
And that while we may struggle with how we see ourselves, God made us who we are for a purpose. And that's something that I do have to remind myself every single day still, because it's just something that I'm always going to struggle with. But it just amazes me how God chooses us carefully and he loves our flaws no matter how much we hate them. Yes. So, but.
And we do need to remind ourselves of these things. We can't just be like, okay, well, I read this verse once, so I should be good, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, like we need that constant reminder encouragement and that love that God can give us through remembering verses, which is so cool.
And if you ever want a good reminder, Mud Love will make good bracelets. So I have a Mud Love bracelet that says Psalm 139:14. So if you ever just like struggling, you just look down at your wrist and it says it there, so you can just remember it. So just like those little things, you know, even like writing it down on a sticky note and like putting it in like the middle of your notebook. And then like one day you open it up and you're like, oh my gosh, like when did I put, like you don't even remember like when you put that there. So it's just like those little reminders that actually help a ton.
It's
so.
Like you're writing yourself a surprise note.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh my gosh, I forgot I put this in here. Like put them in all of your winter clothes pockets.
Literally.
You pull it out. You're like, oh my gosh, I needed this today.
Yep. Another, like this is a song, that I just have learned this year actually. And it's called Enough by Elias Dummer. It's a Christian song, but kind of like what we were talking about before, when society has to puts this idea into our heads that like we need to be, or that to be successful or good enough, we have to have like the most money or like the most accomplishments or fit in like that athletic mold, like what we were talking about earlier, but that's just not true. This song just tries to remind everybody that you are enough with what we have, and like that Jesus is the ultimate goal and Jesus is enough, and that the only thing we really need is him and God to live a fulfilled life. And so I really like that song. That's a good reminder. So
I think we just need that like reminder that we're enough all the time, because I always say like, when we compare ourselves to others, we're trying to measure someone with a measuring stick that was never meant to measure them. I'm trying to measure water with a ruler, right? Like we're just using the wrong units of measurement every time, because Maddie only needs to be measured by Maddie.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But we always try to take like our Maddie stick and measure it up to somebody else. And it's like, well, it doesn't work. And it's like, well, yeah, it was never meant to.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's such a good reminder for everybody for that. So,
and kind of like what you were talking about, I think, it's Teddy Roosevelt. He said like the comparison is like the thief of all joy. So that's just something that we really need to remember, is that if we spend all of our time, and like I need to remind myself of this every day, but like if you spend most of your time like trying to compare yourself to the person next to you, you're never going to truly be like joyful. Like you're never going to get to that spot where you're like, oh, I really like love the way I look, you know? Like you can try to like change your it's like the Hannah Montana song, like you can change your mind and you can change your clothes, you know? Like that, it's just you can really do whatever you want. It's just, but at the end of the day, you're never truly going to be joyful. You're never going to truly be happy if you're not like happy with who you are, like within yourself.
And being confident in the things that you enjoy, the things you like.
So
right now, Maddie, I would love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Okay. Dear younger me, you are simply amazing. Life has given you hardships, but that does not define you. You are worth so much more than you think you are. Comparison is and will be something you will struggle with. You will think you're not good enough, but I promise you, you are. You are so much more than enough. Stop looking to others to find your worth. Learn to love who you are and let that be enough. Know that you are God's beautiful creation and nothing you achieve in life or fail to achieve will ever change you. His love for you. Learn to give yourself grace because I know that you set high expectations for yourself, but please give yourself a break sometimes because you don't have to be perfect. I know that what that kid said to you in eighth grade will stick with you for a long time, but trust me, it's not who you are. Just because you're taller than your friends and bigger than your friends does not mean that you're worth any less. Don't worry if you look different or feel you look different from most other people because there's so much more to you than what others see on the surface. You are kind, you are passionate, and you are caring. These are things that people see and they aren't just physical because your worth's not physical. I know that you don't like the way you look. I know you don't like how tall you are, how long your legs are, but they have made you into the great player that you are. They are what makes you a strong post player and a powerful front row hitter. Just because you aren't in a relationship now doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. You're going to meet so many amazing people in life and then they might leave. That doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just means that you both were meant to be a stopping point in each other's lives, not a destination. And when the right people do come, please don't push them away because you're good enough for them no matter what your mind says. And I know it doesn't make sense now, but you will understand. These hard things that God is putting you through are going to make you into that much of a stronger person in the future. People love you. They may not say it all the time, but they do. I love you. Your older self is so proud of how you've stayed strong, even when you felt like falling down. But please remember that at the end of the day, the only person that matters is God. He loves you, and he's proud of you. Love me.
I love the way you ended that. That is so good. It's just, like, that's true. Everything else doesn't matter. Like, yeah. What matters is God and what he sees in you. And I often pray for myself to see myself through God's eyes, right? And I ask God often, like, help me see other people through your eyes. Help me see myself through your eyes, because those are the eyes of grace and love and forgiveness. Yeah. And that makes me want to follow him more and more and more, because you want to follow people that love you, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
And you want to follow people that care about you. And the more you fall in love with Jesus and know how much he is already wildly in love with you, the more you're going to be like, oh my gosh, like, why does nothing else really matters as much, right? And so that's a great way to finish that letter. And I think that, and maybe, like, I think any younger self needs to hear those things.
I know.
For sure. Yeah. Right. Like, gosh, it's so good. Yeah. So if somebody's listening to this and they're struggling with comparison, or they're struggling with maybe they don't like parts of themselves, where they're like, man, I wish I was like other people. I wish I was like the cool kids. Yeah. Right. Like, I wish I was like, I wish I didn't like this, or I wish I was this way. Like, what's some advice that you would give for someone that is in a spot that was like yours?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I want anybody listening to this to know is that you're not alone, because I felt like I was alone in eighth grade. You know, I felt like I was the only one that felt this way. I felt like I was the only one that didn't like my body or who I was, or like how, like, I liked, why I liked the things that I liked. Because you may feel like the world's at you because all you are thinking are those negative thoughts. Yeah. But that's not true, because a lot of people are struggling daily with the fear of not being good enough. So knowing this, I think one thing that I've been trying a lot more is to try to be the one to initiate that change.
Yeah.
So my volleyball coach, Kelsey Herber, if you know her, you love her. She's amazing.
Shout out to you, Kelsey.
She talks about all the time how if you feel you're struggling, especially that day in practice, like, the best thing that you can do is lift someone else up. So if you're having a really down day and, like, you feel yourself starting to compare yourself to others, or that fear kind of starts to come back, go out of your way to compliment somebody else. Because not only does this, like, make another person feel good, but typically you'll get a compliment in return.
Yeah.
You know, like, just people will be like, oh, well, like, if you're like, I like your shirt, they're like, oh, thanks, I like yours too. You know, like, it's not like you're, like, forcing that, like, compliment out of them. But, you know, it's just like, it's kind of like that, what comes or like, goes around comes around.
Yeah. And it keeps you from it, like, makes you look at someone else instead of yourself.
Definitely.
Like, it shifts your gaze to like, you of like, oh my gosh, I don't measure up, to someone else and be like, oh wow, let's celebrate this person.
Yeah. And I think that to this day, that I think that one of the biggest reasons why I like to, like give people compliments is just because, like, back then I felt like I was alone, but now I know that I'm not. And I think that everybody is struggling with something that they don't talk about. So I think just the fact that if we go out of our way to, like, especially just, like, with this whole, like, complimenting thing, like, it's going to help a lot more people than you really think it's going to. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's serving other people in whatever way, through like just loving someone or noticing a small mm-hmm. detail yeah. like, oh my gosh, did you get your hair cut?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that feels great mm-hmm. for someone to notice those things yeah. about you. Yeah. Yeah.
And then one other thing, well, okay, I have like a ton, but I'm only going to talk about a few, is a social media detox. Yeah. And I know that I need to like do this more in my life than I actually do. But I mean, social media really like drives society nowadays, just kind of like we were talking about before, how people are constantly posting about like their amazing lives on Instagram, yeah. you know, and just like every day you're like scrolling through, especially like spring break time, you know, you're scrolling through those like endless like bikini pictures, yep. you know, and like selfies with perfectly white teeth and like people talking about like all the expensive things that they have. Just
yeah.
because people only ever really put like the good things on social media. And I think that that's really hard, just because we think that we need to have those things too to like be successful or be good enough. But I think that we all know that there's accessibility to apps that like kind of distort that image, you know? So like yeah. those apps where people are whitening their teeth, or like they're making themselves small, or they're making themselves tanner. So I think just using that as a reminder that while social media is like, it's good to have, you know, it's fun to have social media, yeah, you know, posting yeah. about your lives. But like at the end of the day, most of that stuff's like not real.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of my challenge, I guess, is to the people who feel like they're comparing themselves, which I need to listen to my own challenges, but just, I don't know, start off deleting like all your social media for like a week,
yeah.
you know, and see how you feel after that. Cause most of the time you're like, why did I ever really need social media? You know, mm-hmm. like go out and spend your time, like, I don't know, walking your dog, or yeah. like going outside and seeing like the amazing, beautiful things that God has made outside, not just like on a phone. And if it really helps, like, honestly, you can just like cut it off, like not cut it off for like the rest of your life, you know, but just
take a break
and just try to remind yourself that that's not really how life is, mm-hmm. you know?
So. Yeah. And if it feels really hard to take like a straight up break, you can do it where you delete the apps on your phone and mm-hmm. only look on your computer.
Yeah.
Like you can yeah. you can still look at Instagram, mm-hmm. but on your laptop.
Mm-hmm. Or like the time limits. I think you can do this on your phone, right?
Like yeah, I have time limits set. Yeah. And so at a certain time, it'll black out and not let me get on unless I click, you know, 15 more minutes, which I mean, sometimes yeah. I do. But you can actually set it where somebody else types in a password for you.
Okay.
And so yeah. that's like you actually can't go around it mm-hmm. if you want to be like, okay, I want to be able to get on social media like during the day, mm-hmm. but I know at night is when I really yeah. struggle, or you know, past mm-hmm. 9 p.m. or you know, whatever that mm-hmm. is. And so there are different ways that you can set yeah. those things yeah. too.
Yeah. And I think the last thing that I just want to talk about is I'm always here for anyone. So yeah. I know like that's just the type of person that I am, but I know that like anybody can listen to this, but I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening to this are like some of like the kids that are at Campus Life, you know, yeah. like, and I work with some of the middle schoolers. But so to whoever's listening to this, if you're struggling, you can come to me. Like I could literally just not even know you, but like if you just walk, I go to Huntington, I'm a 6 foot, like I have brown hair. Like you're probably going to see me in Walmart and know that's me. So,
oh,
but
gosh.
Please,
I'll put your Instagram.
Yeah,
right.
No,
I'll put your Instagram on the on the bio and the yeah. in the details.
Yeah.
So
just because I don't want anybody, like I said before, to ever feel like they're alone in this, especially like those younger ages. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I was alone and I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. So I don't want anybody to ever feel that way. So
yeah.
I feel like if they know that they have somebody that can come to and talk mm-hmm. to, like that'll help a ton. And I like anything you say to me, like it's just gonna stay right here in my brain, like
yep.
it's not going anywhere.
You
know,
it.
Like
yeah.
I don't know like a ton of people that are listening to this, but I'm a big lover. Like I'll love you no mm-hmm. matter what. So, you know,
is.
So just come if you ever feel like you need to talk to somebody about something, like I'll always be here for anybody. So,
yeah. Ugh. Maddie, it has been so good to just sit and talk and hear your story and hear your heart. And, you know, obviously I knew you when you were a freshman
yeah.
and now I like, and just seeing the way that you have grown and seeing your ups and some of your downs
yeah.
and journeying with you in that has been a privilege. And I just, your heart is just, it comes out in what you do. And it's a beautiful heart. And so I am so thankful for you. I'm thankful for the journey that God has you on, because
yeah.
you are definitely showing that joy of the Lord as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And like, it is just so beautiful. And you are a beautiful human
Thank
being
you.
Inside and out. And so you're awesome and we love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And so everybody at home, thank you so much for listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook and follow our hashtag on Instagram and share this with your friends. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on really anywhere podcasts are found. And so leave us a review, share this, let people know, have people hear Maddie's story. And guys, I hope today you learned a little bit more about Maddie, a little bit more about yourself, and a lot more about God. Go out and have an awesome day.